Welcome to episode 6 of the Gear Vlogs podcast. I have William, also known as Mustang Medic.
No, he hesitated.
I know I did.
Dude, you're choking up already. I can't believe it. Don't get all starstruck on me.
Hey, what can I say, buddy? So, for those who don't know William or Mustang Medic, how about
they better know me, Mario?
I do know you.
No, not you. I know you know me. They better know me.
Yeah, that's true.
Stick with me, Mario. Stick with me.
Yes, I hear you.
I warned you.
Yes, I know you did, my friend. So give those people who don't, who have the misfortune of not knowing who you are, a little brief history of yourself.
You want a brief history of me?
Yeah, your background.
Okay, here we go. I can do it in under 4 minutes. No, I'll do the 2 minute version. You ready?
Sure.
I got married in 97. I started a shop in Palm Springs called Mustang Medic after working on cars, doing videos in a carport in Palm Springs, California. That was back, I established it in 2011. It used to be called Auto Body Man. I've got 9,000 videos that I've edited and change on Auto Body Man and a number of other accounts, plus Mustang Medic. I was diagnosed bipolar 2, and I didn't have any medication, so I was moving 800 miles an hour, and I videotaped the whole darn thing. So you can watch what a bipolar undiagnosed person looks like on Mustang Medic on YouTube channel. I had a neighbor that I met back in the day, back in 2010, 2011. And he looked at me straight in the eye. He looked like a character, typical Californian, had cog shells and piercings, and he had a hat on. And his name was Jim. And he said to me, I said, I don't know who you are. That's what I said to him. And he goes, Google me, man. And when he said, Google me, I busted out laughing. I thought, how arrogant can you be to tell somebody to Google them because they're online? You know what I mean? That was back in 2011. Well, guess what? It's 2020, and guess what I'm going to say?
Google you.
Yeah. Google me, baby. No, if you Google William Weeting, W-I-E-T-I-N-G, that's my name, you'll see bad stuff about me. You'll see good stuff, more good stuff than bad. Everybody's got haters. If you don't have haters, you're not trying, in my opinion. That's all the do I'm going to give them. And then I ended up being long story short, the code enforcement people got all on me because I took over my rented house with cars. I had like 8 Mustangs around a swimming pool. Code enforcement came down on me. I was driving around in a Mustang Medic truck. You can Google that too. Basically, during this interview, anything that I say, guys, that you hear me say, like, interviewing with Henry Ford or interviewing with Richard Petty or hanging out with Horny Mike, if I say any of those things, just Google it, Mustang Medic and the name of the person, and you can watch right now. Well, don't watch right now. Watch this interview. But you can watch basically anything I say.
Or they can go to your YouTube channel because I know those clips are there.
Yeah, but I'm mad at Google right now for that damn bell, so I don't want to talk about Google right now.
I hear you.
That darn bell messed us all up, man. I got 14,000 subscribers that don't know I exist right now because they didn't tap that damn bell when the bell didn't exist. All right, I'm changing subjects. I'll stick to what I'm talking about. So it turned into a 9,000 square foot shop. I had 12 employees. I had 29 active projects. I'm trying to still do this in 4 minutes. And then one of my main clients bought out or started paying on most of my employees, and I was forced to close in 2015. I went through a suicidal depression for 3 years, disappeared, experienced the greatest hardships of my life, which has changed my perspective to look at everything as good, no matter what happens. Almost died today, by the way, Mario. That's another story I can tell you about. Car almost T-boned us at 45. It was so close. You wouldn't have gotten your interview.
It was fate.
I would have gotten famous. You know, I finally, everybody know who Mustang Medic is because I got killed in the car accident. Rachel would take off. So whatever it takes to be successful, I'm willing to give up my life for it. So then I caught my wife with an FBI agent. She was with an FBI agent for 4 years and 4.5 years. Sorry, I didn't mean to take away 6 months of her affair during my 17-year marriage. I went into shock, and then I lost my employees, and everything went bad. And back now in 2018, wow, it's been over a year, 2018 November, I came back. I found Wellbutrin. I got dialed in. I'm present. I'm not in the past. I'm not in the future. I'm just enjoying this very moment with you, Mario. And that's the way I live my life. So everything's an opportunity. I go to car shows. I meet 2018. All of it's on video and YouTube. Predominantly right now on Instagram. And you basically can watch my life on Instagram, and I keep it interesting. You never know what's going to be posted. I do trivia questions. I do shout outs for people that do really cool stuff for Mustang Medic. I've got a partnership right now that we're building. It's got a reach of about almost 600,000 today. We were at 500,000. We took on another partner. Our partners typically have 100,000 or more followers. Mm-hmm. And we have a promotion, Mustang Medic promotion. That account displays the art direction that I do. I've been doing for 37 years or 34 years because I'm a marketing director, creative director, and art director, and a copywriter too. So I did all those ad functions in my 20s. So now I'm taking it all back to marketing. And during a pandemic, we have to all get creative.
Right.
And I thought to myself, I should sell a million reach to Instagram accounts that want to grow. Brands, of course, they'll buy in on it because I'm going to give them the hard numbers. I'm going to give them insights. They're going to see their real accounts. You're right. Really getting a reach of over a million.
Not and these fake bot accounts. I've
got partners now. Say again.
Like none of these, some of these influencers that buy their subscriber base or whatever you want to call it and inflate their numbers to make them look good.
Well, I experienced that myself. I wanted to grow aggressively in the beginning. Mustang Medic only at this time of this recording has about 4,400. I don't have a lot. I'm grateful for every 4,400. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I'm not bagging on anybody that's got 10 people, 10 followers, or a million followers. We're all unique in God's eyes, and our value.
Hey, we all put our pants on one leg at a time.
Yeah, and there's no. Like, I've talked to a few people that have. I don't want to say it because it might get misconstrued, but let's just say there's some people that think they are their following count, their followers, and they're not. They're not. You're either right. It could be a freak show. It could be a freak show and get 8 million views, whatever. And, you know, props to them, too, for the opportunities that they've created from themselves. Right. I'm a Christian. I'm conservative. I love America, and I love muscle cars. I love muscle car history. I love Shelby history. I love Celine history. I love Ford history, Harley Davidson. The what we've done in the past 100 years has been absolutely out of control, amazing. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of celebrating America, the people that are involved in it, and the cars. More the people would be first on the list, then America, then the cars. Because our cars are just big toys. They're metal, mm-hmm. They're rubber. Some have a beautiful shape. Some have rust. Some don't. Some have horsepower. Some do. And we're just going to have fun with our toys. And I learned that through buying this $600 Mustang. I'm off the story of my life now. I'm into small stories now, Mario.
No problem.
I told you it's not hard for me to talk. I told you. I bought a $600 Mustang, a new Edge, a 3.8 stick. And I just get the biggest kick out of it. It's got 250,000 miles on it. I've never driven. I had sixes back about 13 years ago. And then I was basically driving all big blocks for 10 years. So I'm just getting the biggest kick out of like V6 muscle as a hashtag. That's hilarious to me. I just think I use it all the time. I think it's so funny.
Well, V6 muscle. Before we go any further, not to jinx you or nothing, but have you had to deal with any of the head gasket issues on the 3.8?
I've heard about that. I had another mechanic look at it. I don't officially call myself a mechanic. I'm kind of a host of a show and I work on cars. But I had it and he looked over on the driver's side and did not see seepage. I see seepage at the rear main, but that's because I'm doing too many burnouts.
Okay.
I'm burning out with this little 3.8. It's a stick. I power break it.
Hey, there's nothing, nothing wrong with it.
There's a lot wrong with it. There's a lot wrong with the V6 burnout, but I'm doing the best I can.
Okay, put it this way. Let's put it this way. Right now, I bet you if you were to take your 3.8 V6 New Edge Mustang to a dyno, it'll produce more horsepower than my 95 Cobra Mustang right now.
No, it won't. You got a 95 Cobra?
Yeah.
You got a stick SVT 95 Cobra.
Yep, black on black, number 1831, I believe, or 37.
I'm going to put you on the spot in this interview. Are you ready, Mario? Because Mario hasn't done his homework on me. Mario doesn't know who I am. I just want to say that right now in this interview. He just learned who I am. Have you seen the Cobra Project on Auto Body Men?
No, I have not.
Oh, dude, I restored a 95 Cobra saddle interior black. An SVT Cobra, and I did 40-day video series restoring the whole car. I put it on eBay, sold it at a track, and all of it's on video, 40 days straight. I got videos of – I've got cars with 555 videos. The viewers said this to me, that I'm actually – in 2011, I'm one of the first people to do day one to day sold. You know, in other words – day after day after day of watching a restoration. I do it religiously. I mean, I videoed everything. I spent so much time setting up shots and everything. It's because of my background as being a creative director.
Right.
I just kept videoing everything I did. It's all online. My whole life is online. I mean, when I die, I'll still be getting 2,200 views a day until eternity. That's what I got now.
Anything
on YouTube.
Well, Think of it this way. If you're building up a brand yourself right now, and as long as, knock on wood, if the platform's still there and the monetization factors are there, you think about it, your kids will be getting that money or your estate or whatever you want to call that.
I don't even consider it money with what we do, because it's right now the way it is in 2020 before the second election. It's very hard to make money off the big social platforms. You have to create your own opportunities. And the t-shirts and the merch doesn't work. Anybody that says, "Oh, I got merch." You know, you got merch, okay? Teespring makes anybody can do merch. Anybody can do merch.
Like you were saying, get rid of Teespring unless you're willing to do it in-house or find a local supplier that's willing to do the print.
Nobody will ever do it that way again, Mario. Nobody will ever do it that way again. I did that for 10 years. I've had 6 businesses, all completely different. I don't know if you want to hear the businesses. But I did 6 separate businesses. I bought my own merch. I produced radio spots. I had fulfillment centers. I've done it all. And you got to sell the shirt. You got to sell the shirt. And now that they you don't have to pay $500 for a short run, you know, the shirts cost you about $6. I'm talking history though.
Yeah.
They might cost less now. Once Teespring came about with its concept, it was over. Nobody's ever going to. Why spend money on shirts that you might not sell? Teespring's a one-off t-shirt thing. So if you got a cool design, yeah, put it out there. But the design, the cool design shirt's only going to sell when the viewer feels, they like your personality. They want it. They want to sport your colors, whatever that color is that you design.
Yeah.
Because nobody wants to. I had a guy that gave me a shirt that I didn't like. I threw the shirt out. I'm not even going to keep the damn shirt for pain. You know what I mean? I don't want to be reminded of somebody I don't like. So it's personality driven. A lot of these channels do, you know, I got to be careful because I've got partners that also have their own formats. I'll just say it this way. Everybody's got their own format. Some people stick to classics. Some people stick to orange Mustangs, GTOs. Everybody's got special interests. Shelby's only is a hashtag. There's only hashtags on everything. Mm-hmm. And my point of view, what makes Mustang Medic different, and will still be different when I die, because Rachel's right now at the moment, my 13-year-old saying she's going to take over. And she's way prettier than I am. Plus, who doesn't want to hear a young woman that likes to drive fast, that likes Mustangs? Who doesn't want to see that? I'm sure once I die, or at least sitting in a wheelchair behind her, then we'll go into the Mega Millions because everybody wants a cute girl.
Here's a great story for you. This was, I don't know how many years back. I was back on the West Coast. You probably remember this show, but for the viewers who don't, there's like, for Fords, there's this one big show that happens on the West Coast called Fabulous Fords Forever.
I've been there four times.
Yep. And one particular year I was there, Steve Saline
what?
Had...
What year were you there? Wait a minute, Mary. What year were you there?
Oh, back during the early 2000s? Yeah,
we
I was probably
each
there.
Other. We probably passed each other. You didn't see anybody walking around with a cowboy hat?
I'm probably sure I've seen a few people walking around with a cowboy hat.
Back to your story, sorry.
So anyway, but obviously Saline had his trailer there. It was up against the fence line.
I interviewed him that year.
But the thing was, this was back when his daughter, I think his oldest daughter, Molly, was just learning how to drive.
She has a pink Mustang now.
Yep. I heard somebody that knew him says, oh man, she's now learning to drive. You can just imagine how fast and good of a driver she's going to be when she gets older.
Well, Molly's really nice. She's very welcoming. I met her. Well, I've seen her numerous times, but I got to talk to her a lot at the 50th anniversary in Vegas for the Ford Mustang back in 2015. And she was real proud of having her Celines up on top of the, they put the Celine cars on top of the box cars that they load on the ships. They were like three levels up. Did you go to that one? Did you go to the 50th anniversary?
I didn't get access to that. Ford doesn't want to give me access.
All right, tell me your story, and I'll get back to my...
No, that was pretty much it. It was impressive to see that, you know, this girl is just might be like 15 with just getting her learner's permit. And, you know, it's going to be like, whoa, you know.
Yeah, you might be earlier than maybe. I don't think I met her at that age. Right. I think you might have been going to Fabulous Ford's probably earlier than me because I remember her... in her 20s. I don't remember her that young.
Oh, I think it was like another good story was funny. It was like maybe, I'm not sure, it was around the same time frame or it was like a yearly thing for me and my friends up here in Northern California. We'd drive down for the show every year. And I think one year there was like, I was watching, I think her name was Cammy Edelbrock. She was there. And I watched this like little 5-6-year-old kid walking up to her saying, "Hi, Cammy." It's like, and watching the dad say, "Hey, be respectful."
I actually met Mr. Edelbrock quite by accident. I was at the opening of a Steve Saline. I came out as press at a Steve Saline announcement in Pebble Beach at what is it called? What's the racetrack down there in California?
Laguna Seca.
Thank you. He had an event at Laguna Seca. I actually rode up there on my motorcycle with my ex-wife. She was my wife at the time. And when I got there, driving a BMW, I always find a way in to these events. I either come in as media, you know, if I have enough time, or I kind of just find my way in. Right. And I found my way in, and I was able to bring my BMW motorcycle right down by the track where the cars couldn't go. I just drove right past the barriers and went down there. So I parked the bike there. And I was videoing Steven Saline doing the presentation for the car. And they pulled the 69 that Edelbrock drives up on stage because Edelbrock owned the Tribute 69 fastback race car that Steve Saline imitated in a new car. So in other words, all the graphics that he put on a modern Mustang matched this 69. Mr. Edelbrock owned the real one.
Right.
And drove it on stage. So I'm there, standing there, you know, because I'm pressed. And I'm guiding this guy out, pulling off the ramp, and he's going around, turning, he's smiling at me. He's got it in gear, and it's so low geared, he's having a hard time even moving the car. You know what I mean? It's digging
right
into the dirt as he's trying to move the car. And as he drove away, I was like, you know, that looked like somebody I know. Like 2 days later, I get home, and I'm looking at a brochure, and there's a picture of him with his Edelbrock carburetor. I'm like, that was him. I've met so many people like that. I met Al Pacino like that, too. I was like face-to-face with Al Pacino. And he's giving me the Scarface stare, and he walked away. Right, this is in L.A. when I lived in Santa Monica, and he walks away, and I go up to my friend Penny the next day. I'm like, I go, "What's that?" Because she came up to complain about my music, and I go, "I was trying to do Pink Floyd with the keyboard, you know, a lot of
right."
We all did, all tried that as old people. How old are you, Marianne?
Just past half a century.
You can't say you're 50, dude.
51.
I'm 55. I got you beat. All right.
Yeah.
So I go to Penny. I said, "Penny, I go, was that Al Pacino just standing behind you when you're complaining about my music?" Yeah, we were friends. It wasn't a big deal. Mm-hmm. She goes, "Oh yeah, that was Al." I'm like, "That was Al?" She goes, "Yeah." I go, "My husband's suffering from MS. he was Al Pacino's early acting coach. And I'm like, holy crap. You run into so many people when you live in Santa Monica, California. They're just everywhere. You know what I mean? John Candy and all those guys. They're having fun in Santa Monica. I digress.
Do you see this? What was your all-time favorite Mustang?
What is my all-time favorite Mustang? I guess the one I would be most in shock about if it showed up at my door. Can I do two?
Sure.
All right.
I'll let you have two.
I'll start off with the one that's not worth as much, and then I'll go to the really valuable one.
Okay.
If a 1969 429 Boss pulled up, dark green, or Wimbledon white in my house, and somebody handed me the keys, I would probably faint. The 429 Boss 69 Mustang is the ultimate blend of all fastbacks of all time. This is, of course, my opinion. The 65, don't get me wrong, it's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful machine, but it's still a little bit of a box at the bottom.
Right.
But the 69, the way they swept it back, and now the S550s, for those of you that don't know what S550 is, the latest body style since 2015 is an S550 Mustang. Those knocked it out of the park. Actually admitted it on text. I actually texted Instagram to somebody, and I can't believe I did it. I never thought I would do it in 10 years. I probably like the S550 body better than any other Mustang, and it's the newest Mustang, which is really cool because when you think about it, back in 66, like people our age, 50 years old back in 66, they must have been like, holy crap, I gotta have one, you know, $3,000 convertible, you know what I mean? The Ford Mustang, they made 750,000 of them in 66. I mean, they made that many Mustangs in 66. That's why you can still find Mustangs and they can be completely restored, a 66 fastback, and you can only get 40 for it or 45, which kills you because in the restoration business, an average good restoration, prepare yourselves, $60,000. So it's upside down. I picked a car that's typically upside down. It's got to be rare. It's got to be a Shelby. It's got to be a GT350 from 66 or something to be worth really good money, or a movie car, $3.4 million for the beaten up 68 green.
Or like the guy,
I'm talking about the Bullet.
Yeah. Well, or like the guys who found what everybody presumed was already crushed was the, I guess you would say, the stunt car from Bullet. They found down in Mexico.
That's what I just spoke to the owner. I just spoke to the owner of that car.
The guy who found it in Mexico, or
the guy who got it from Mexico. I talked to him. He's restoring the car.
Yeah, because I guess when he found it, he was originally found it in a junkyard or something. He was going to turn it into another Eleanor.
I can't say it, but he was offered an amazing amount of money before he started restoring it. Amazing amount of money. I can't say it.
Yeah,
I'm under confidence, but I mean it's going to be much more valuable.
Even though there's so much parts missing from the car,
I don't know. Maybe he's depreciating it by restoring it. It's very possible.
From what I understand, there wasn't really much left, so he had to throw in a lot of new replacement body panels.
It was a chicken coop. It literally, the car shell was a chicken coop.
Right.
Doesn't get much worse than that, unless you got a tree growing up in the middle of the car.
That's true.
Those pictures. It was funny because I'll tell you a quick Bullet story. I'm sitting there behind the Bullet and I'm shooting video. And this dude is laying his hand on the hood of the car to shoot a video over the hood of the Bullet, right? I'm looking at him. I'm like, what the heck? They had two security guards. I made friends with both of them, of course. One was a Green Beret, a retired Green Beret, and he was with the Bullet until it sold. And another gentleman, his name escapes me, but I shot a lot of video with him in Kissimmee, in Mecum, at the auction when it went to auction.
Okay.
And he got a big kick out of me because he knew me from SEMA, so we were like jumping in golf carts and having a good old time. But I was going to say to this guy, I was like, hey, you know, you shouldn't put your hand on the car. Don't touch the car, right? He turned around. He says, I own the car. I'm like, oh, sorry.
Although he liked the respect that you were respecting the car.
I was about to tell Sean off, the one that owned the car, you know, back in SEMA days. We better have SEMA this year.
I don't know, man. After hearing what they said about the Concours to Elegance being canceled, I don't know, man.
Oh, I knew you told me that news. The second car is a 1966 original GT350 at my doorstep, and the keys handed to me, because that car, not only is it a piece of art, and the history of the Shelby history is just awesome. I can't imagine sitting inside a real Shelby and driving. I mean, I have driven down real, I've driven real Shelbys. I've never real Shelby GT350. I've driven tributes and stuff. But think about it. If you're in a Shelby driving down a country road and there's nothing but telephone poles and you don't have your phone with you or your watch, what's to tell you what time period you're in? That's what I call a true time machine. If you're in a car that's absolutely completely original for 50 years and has never been changed or just meticulously kept, you are literally in a time capsule, because who's to say what time you're in if you're in that car and there's nothing to see? I just recently did a post. A buddy of mine sent me a picture of a 67 convertible. It was red. And I know the guy in town. And he sent me the picture from, it's over Alloway Pizza and Grill in the middle of Alloway, New Jersey. Little tiny town, great kid. I don't want to call him a kid. He's a 24-year-old man. He's got he got motivated to buy a Mustang because of my videos. He bought a 2019 GT gray. He's customizing it. It's beautiful. He took this picture and he sent it to me. Well, I took it, made it black and white, cropped out the street light, and I said to the viewers, this is one of my trivia questions. What year was this picture taken in? All the guesses were in the 60s. Isn't that cool? It was taken yesterday. That picture was taken yesterday. All I did was make it black and white, make it contrasty, like the days when they looked like those pictures. What's so cool. That's what's so cool about original concourse machines. If you're going to customize something, go ahead. I'm getting dark. If you're going to customize something, heck, let's say you got the shell of a 66 fastback. Have fun with it. Do whatever you want with it, because if it's a six, it's not worth any money. I know that's hard to hear. You can enjoy your six. You can have a completely bone stock six and everything. It's really not worth much. So I don't mind seeing people have fun with those cars and do tributes or whatever they do that. Right. But if you've got an original car with a history, meaning actually all of my cars have history because I've got videos of every single car I've worked on. But if you've got a car with a history, you want to preserve that history because there's value in that history, like what I'm talking about with concourse cars. I spoke to a guy, I was at a car show one time, and I spoke to a guy that I was dressed up in my Mustang Medic uniform. I wear an EMT uniform. It's got a Mustang Medic badge, and I'm very official looking when I go to car shows. And so people find me. And this guy came up to me and says, "Hey, I just bought me a 68 Shelby steering wheel." And I was like, "Really?" I go, "How much are you selling it for, right?" Do you know how much that wheel's worth? Do you know, Mario, do you know how much an original Shelby steering wheel, 67?
What do you think? I had to guess, $3,000 to $5,000?
Exactly, my friend. And nobody said to me. Everybody
around 200 me, bucks? Like,
everybody around me went, when he told me this, and I said to him, he goes, "Yeah, I just cleaned it up. I just media blasted it." I went, I was like, wait a minute. You just media blasted it? And he's like, "Yeah." And I'm like, "I don't want to even tell you how much value you just took off that wheel." He took all the patina off the wheel. He media blasted a Shelby steering wheel. So he goes, "No, tell me. I go, "Nah, you don't want to know." I said, "I don't like giving people bad news. I don't want to tell you. You know, just enjoy it. I'm glad you found it. That's cool." I didn't want to make the guy feel bad or embarrass him or anything. And I told him, I said, "It's probably worth around $5,000 to the right buyer. If you got a guy with a 67 Shelby who's got a cracked wheel, who has a green interior, it's a green wheel, and it's got the same patina as the rest of the car, that's a great value to a collector. That's a great value to a collector, because everything you want is you want original from the year it was made." I was working on a 68 Shelby, blue and white stripe one that was like that. So you're just like, you walk around like every piece is gold. Every little piece of metal is gold. So he saw me at the show, another car show later, and he came up to me and says, "Hey, I sold that wheel." I looked at him, I said, "Did you?" I go, "How much you sell for it?" He goes, "I got $150. I said, "Good for you." I said, "I'm happy for you." That's my patina wheel story. Don't clean your parts, guys. If you've got antique parts, sell them like they are. Yeah, I might have saved somebody $1,000.
No kidding. Fireball question. How many tequila shots have you had with Courtney Hansen?
You saw that video?
Did all you see of that them.
Video? You did see that video. None.
I think I counted at least three of them.
I was married. I didn't think you didn't see me take a shot with her. Did I take a shot with her?
No, but you were talking about it.
Yeah, we never did it. We never did it. No shots. She was just teasing me. She had a boyfriend. And she was talking to her boyfriend. Even when we were done the interview, she immediately had me send the video to my YouTube account so her boyfriend could see it. She actually is the one that taught me how to upload YouTube videos from my phone. I didn't know how to do that. I was doing it from my computer the whole time. And I found an app that allowed me to upload most of my videos now on YouTube are from my phone. I try not to sit in front of the computer. I've done too much editing in my life.
Yeah, because when I was going through
shots. To answer your question, no shots, Mario. No.
Okay. I just had to throw it out there. Come on.
Yeah, thanks for reminding me of my defeat.
During like the Queen Mary car show back then.
Oh yeah, Ponies of the Pike.
Yep, or whatever it was.
Oh, I saw it. That's for actually he's got an active account. Let me think. John is gonna kill me. John Schultz. John Schultz on Facebook, tell him Mustang Medic sent you. He'd probably appreciate that. He gave me a few awards at car shows. He made me feel special, which I thought was cool.
Cool.
John Schultz. Sure,
I think that was the gentleman. He had a friend of his who was a shop owner that was tragically lost, and they were trying to bring awareness to his situation.
No, that's John Schultz. John Schultz.
Yeah, but that was his friend, right?
I don't remember
Joe,
his friend's name.
Joe Gorbinski, I think is how you pronounce
it. Joe Gorbinski, yeah. I think Ponies on the Pike or John Schultz, you can find out about him. Yeah, he died in his shop.
Yeah.
Two people broke in and killed him, and they've never been found. Never.
Yeah.
I never met the gentleman. I didn't get a chance to meet
him. I have.
You met him?
Literally, I've known about him for years because of, you know, at the time I was working at another shop. So we'd have interactions, whatnot. And I met him up at the Fabulous Fords Forever show, but I had to stick around in town because I had to wait for one of my other vendors that was in Southern California to be done with a part that he needed to pick up. So a bunch of us were hanging out at his shop on a Monday morning after the show weekend. And, we were having actually my buddy and I had drove down our shop Viper down to SoCal for the event, and we're having some issues with the fuel pump. So we said, "Hey, can we borrow some tools?" And he said, "Sure." Mm-hmm. He goes off on the test drive. He comes back from the test drive and sees us literally have the fuel tank ripped out of the Viper on the ground apart. His words to us is, "You guys are animals."
Oh. I'm losing you.
No problem.
Yeah, animals?
Yeah. Then he said, yeah, we need to get a piece of like a fuel hose clamp and a new piece of rubber. He says, yeah, no problem. He calls up his auto parts account, has it delivered that same day to us. Boom. We get it. Yeah. Get the car all back together and whatnot. So, yeah, Joe was a great guy. And, I think this December or will be the 10th anniversary, and they still haven't found the culprits yet.
How long ago, like when you were talking to him and fixing that car and everything, how much later did he?
Literally, if you think about it, when was it? April, when the 2010 of when the Fabulous Fords Forever show was happening, he was murdered. Literally December 23rd, 2010. So what, 6-8 months later?
We got a bad connection right now, Mario.
Yeah. Bummer.
I don't know what's happening.
Oh, well. But yeah, I'm actually thinking possibly if you could get a hold of your friend Joe, maybe we could do like a live stream with him, you, me, to bring awareness about the memorial page.
You mean John.
John. Yeah, John.
Yeah, John. Yeah.
And see if he's interested.
I'll talk to him.
And maybe we could do like a charity live stream or something to raise funds for the reward fund, you know, for information.
Is there anything on the case at all?
Cold trails, from what I've heard, and the cops are going to tell you anything else.
You think it was a hit?
We don't know.
Was anything stolen?
Oh, yeah. They said, yeah, he always kept cash at the shop in the shop safe, and supposedly that was gone.
I did it the same way, except I didn't keep, I had a safe in my shop, but, and people assumed there was money in there. They always thought I had money, no matter whether I had money or not. And I was fortunate that that didn't happen to me because I was on video. You know what I mean? 29 active cars, 4 of them were Shelby's. I'm very fortunate that that wasn't my demise too.
You know, the sad thing. Yeah. The really sad thing about it was he was at his shop late at night, collecting toys for a Toys for Tot drive that he was getting ready for. You know, and it's like, what kind of sick SOBs, you know, need to do that to somebody?
Yeah, those are one of those moments you're like, God, why? Why did you let that happen? Yeah, that's tough.
But yeah, if your friend wants to do it, that'd be something I'm willing to donate my channel services to John. Yeah, to promote
John
the stream.
John Schultz, I'll send you a link, and you can spread the link and talk to him. Just let him know we talked about it, and I'm sure he always is very motivated every year to remember him on his shows. And I don't know if he's going to have a show this year or not.
Just found out this morning that Monterey Car Week for 2020 is canceled.
And it's a sad time for all of us. And I've been there myself. I've got video on it. I interviewed Wade Carini at Concours d'Elegance, and I couldn't pronounce the word, right? The way I got into the Concours d'Elegance, do you know how much it costs to get to go to the Concours d'Elegance to buy a ticket? Do you know?
I was shocked. 800 to $1,000.
Oh, you're close. $500. So actually, Mario, you would think it was a bargain. I thought it was expensive at $500. So I went there. I called them 2 days before. This guy drives a Le Mans. What's the name of that Ford, the Ford GT and the other car that was really fast? It looks like a boat. They both have the same tail end. Le Mans?
Yeah. Or Torino?
No. It's a Le Mans. It's a Ford. It was the other fast car they had in Shelby back in 66, 67. Ah.
Going brand. Yeah, the Ford GT40.
I always forget the name of the car. Anyway, he had this car. Well, he goes, we should go to the Concours d'Elegance, Will. Since you get into all the shows, let's go to Concours d'Elegance. I'll come with you. I'm like, yeah, you can be my cameraman. So I called up the Concours d'Elegance like 3 days before the show, right? I was living in Palm Springs, so I wasn't that far away from Pebble Beach.
Right.
And I was like, hi, I'm Mustang Medic. Do you know who I am? They're like, no. And I go, I'm Mustang Medic. I'm a show. I'm everywhere. I go to all auctions and everything. I want to promote the Concours d'Elegance for you. I'm media. I want to get media credentials so I can come in. Well, we don't know if we can guarantee that, sir. And I was like, well, I'll tell you what. I said, I'm going to come down, and I'm going to assume you're going to give me my press credentials. And because they said, you got to come in for us to decide to give you the credentials. And I'm like, all right. So I drove an hour and 40 minutes with my buddy, dressed in the Mustang Medic uniforms. He had his shirt on, too. We looked like two security guards, especially the Concours d'Elegance, because everybody else is wearing yellow blazers and loafers and all this stuff. I'm walking around looking like a cop with 5'11s. And I show up, and I go to the counter. Hey, I'm Mustang Medic. I'm here for my two press credentials. I said, here you are, sir. They handed them to me. So we celebrated. We're all happy. All the other press guys are looking at us going, why are they so happy? You know what I mean? And we're like, yeah, we got it for free. And we saved $1,000. Well, we went around that show everywhere. Nobody bothered us because everybody, even Jay Leno, thought I was a cop. Jay Leno was so rude to me. He was so rude to me. I was like, hey, Jay, I bet you wish you weren't riding that motorcycle, right? Because he's driving around like a 1902 motorcycle. It's steaming, sputtering oil, and he's driving it around, and all the guys are getting a big kick out of Jay Leno driving it. So he drives past me and he stops and he's trying to figure out if he's going to be able to keep moving forward with it because the belt was slipping. And I go, hey, Jay, I bet you regret riding that thing, huh? He just looked at me like this. He was like, she looked away from me. And I'm like, Jay, I'm not a cop. I'm Mustang Medic. And he didn't hear me because he had already gassed the motorcycle. That was my only. And then I saw him with a Stanley Steamer down at the Rock Store in California. The Rock Store is a place, if you're in California, you know what I'm talking about. It's a place where they serve alcohol and bikers show up on Sunday and they ride all day and they all drink beer there and then they go ride motorcycles fast again. So that's called the Rock Store. He pulled up with his Stanley Steamer. Everybody knows him for a Stanley Steamer. It's been on a lot of TV shows. And I walked up to him and I was asking him about back pressure or something like that. He ignored me again. I wasn't even in my Mustang Medic uniform and he ignored me. So I'm on the outside with Jay Leno, but it's okay. Someday maybe I'll be on Jay Leno's garage and he'll actually recognize me as a Mustang expert. You never know.
Hey, you never know.
Where, Mario, do we start this story off at?
Interviewing you and whatnot. I don't know.
A couple of my viewers said when I do interviews, I'm like scattered and all over the place. And it's true.
So, it's
my mission in life to entertain you. What?
How about you talked about Mustang Week? How about have you ever been to what I think it's called Ponies in the Smokies? I think is what it's called.
I was gonna go there this year. I sent them a message because I never did any of the East Coast stuff. I did all West Coast stuff.
Right,
I was West Coast everywhere. I went as far as where did I go? Arizona. I went to Scottsdale for Barrett Jackson. I traveled a little bit on the west side, but I never went east. So when I came out to the East Coast, I was kind of a snob. I was like a West Coast snob. I felt like, oh, there's not going to be any cars here. There's not a big car culture. You know, people like don't know what YouTube is on the East Coast. And most of that was true about the YouTube stuff. But there are a ton of beautiful cars on the East Coast. I don't know. Lance Miller, he's the owner of Carlisle Events. He's a partner with his uncle. Mm-hmm. He owns Carlisle Events, and it's up there in Pennsylvania, in Carlisle, Pennsylvania, of course. And they do auctions, and they do the Ford Nationals and the Chevy Nationals and Spring Nationals and Summer Nationals and Fall Nationals. And it's a great event. And when I was – where was I going with this? Gosh darn it, Mario, I'm forgetting what I'm saying.
Carlisle Event.
It's about the people. It's about the people. And the people, when I get there and I met Lance and everything – he's just so down to earth. He's a down to earth guy. He owns like four F1s, which is just like out of control, mind blowing that anybody owns four F1s, the originals. They actually test drove them on, I heard this on a podcast, Cars of Carlisle podcast, Cars_of_Carlisle. He's a good guy. And he does a podcast also. And he just basically covers Carlisle. And Lance was talking about his F1s, and he's like, yeah, they closed the track for us so we could test drive the cars before we bought them. He bought them all at the same time. I'm looking at him like, damn, you are down to earth, man, for a guy that can buy four F1s. You know what I mean? I'm like, Lance, let's go party. Come on.
We're talking McLaren F1s?
The F1s, what year was the F1s? Which year? It was late 60s?
Okay.
Early 70s?
I'm thinking of a different F1. When you say F1, I'm thinking of like the McLaren F1 supercar, hypercar, which are now worth about $20 million a piece now.
Yeah, they're sick. It's just crazy. I don't want to drive an expensive car like that. I'll drive a Corvette, you know, a C8. I'll have fun in that. And if I crash it, I'll be like, damn it, that's 80 grand. But can you imagine crashing a $4 million car? Can you imagine the sorrow that you have looking at that car bent up, knowing how much it's going to cost to put it back together again?
Yeah.
It's crazy. And you can't even talk about depreciation. Go to a car auction and watch a Rolls Royce or a Bentley go over the auction block that's 4 years old. It's $35,000. That's a $200,000 car. These cars depreciate like mad.
That's why you buy used.
Especially when you're crashing.
And that's why you buy used. That's all I got to say. Can't go wrong with buying used. They can only go back up.
Mary, how many used McLarens do you have?
Zero.
Me too. Mary, keep me on a steady path, man, because I'm all over the place tonight. Help me out.
Cool. Okay, so we did Smokey and the Ponies, Mustang Week.
Oh, Smokey and the Ponies, we didn't finish that.
Okay.
They canceled it, and they haven't rescheduled it yet. That's all I wanted to say, because I was going to go to that. Are you going? If they do it?
If I can find sponsors to cover my travel expenses, yeah, I would go.
How much is the travel? Where are you at? Where are you located?
I'm in Northern California, buddy.
Dude, I'm in Jersey. It's almost the same distance. Drive. Yeah. Drive. Gas is $1.75, thanks to President Trump. Drive the damn car, Mario. Drive it. Sleep in it. Do what I do. Do what you got to do. You don't have to pay for a hotel room.
Yeah, just
drive sleeping. For your gas. It costs you like $50 to get there.
What are okay, you driving? We'll put a, huh?
What are you driving?
That depends. It could be my F-150. Could be my Cobra. Could be my the Grand Prix.
Drive the F-150. Then you can bring back stuff you find and buy it.
Yeah, but
it's America's truck.
Yeah, Ford. True. It is America's truck. But I'm
Henry, I'm still trying to call you, Henry. I've sent you emails. You know who I am. I'm waiting for you to call me, Henry. Come on. No, we did. We had it scheduled to call, and I blew it because I went and drove a 73 across country from California to Florida to get sold in Mecum, and I didn't contact him when I was supposed to contact him, and I haven't heard from Henry. Henry, I'm waiting for you to call me back. I love you. Okay, good.
Be persistent. Give him a call. Get a secretary.
I'm not going to give up. I'll find out. I'm always looking for the shows that he's at, and I will go there. I will travel cross country to get face to face with Mr. Henry Ford III again. And I've got interviews. Search Google, guys. Mustang Medic, Henry Ford, and we had a very fun interview at the introduction of the Shelby GT 350 in 2015.
Okay, definitely. I don't think I saw that one, but it'll be interesting. But yeah, so. I hate going back to it, but SEMA. If SEMA does happen, what are you hoping to see this year?
It's always the same.
It's always. But I mean, like from a manufacturer, maybe from a manufacturer standpoint, what would you be hoping for? Like, let's say with Ford, you think they're going to unveil the new Bronco?
I don't get excited about that, dude. Mary, I don't. I don't get excited about any of that stuff. All I care about is going there and just talking to people. I the cars and the the Cobra jets and the what did I see at the last SEMA that was amazing? I saw not the Cobra jet. What do they call it now? Godzilla or something? What is the new name for the new Cobra jet? Dragon jet? Dragon.
I may have missed Dragon that jet. One.
Dragon jet? They got a new name for the Cobra jet, and I can't remember it. It was at SEMA. You can Google it, guys, and I can't remember the name of it. But there's some amazing, amazing cars there. But what I value the most about those shows is the people, is talking to the people, interviewing people, and just making new contacts in the field, because it's an industry show. So you have to be in the industry to go. And I go not because I'm a shop owner, because I'm not a shop owner at the moment. I go because I'm media and I cover, heavily into the muscle cars. Henry Ford said, I said to him one time at a show, I'll never forget it. It was at Fabulous Ford's Forever. I said to him, he was standing up on a stage, he was talking to people, and I had already met him once before. I met him at SEMA just before the Fabulous Ford's Forever show. And it was like within 3 months, I guess. And I was like, Henry, I go, is it okay that I'm using your Ford logo? And he goes, he looked at me and he goes, Will, we're not going to bother you. And I didn't catch that on video. So the next time I interviewed him, I was like, Henry, I think I said it. I think I said it in the Shelby, the one, the Henry Ford interview at Shelby. I said to him, remember when you said that I could use the logo? He goes, oh, I don't know if I remember that. Damn it, because they can shut me down in the flip second. But the good news is, the reason they don't shut me down, Ford, and they allow me to show the Ford logos, they've never, I was going to be a show, and Ford had already said that I could use their logos, the Ford logo and the Mustang logo. They already gave us approval on that. They weren't giving us any money, but Ford said Mustang Medic can use it. And we were working on Shelby because I had a Shelby logo on the door of my truck. Mm-hmm. So that was all set up. So they know of me. They've known of me for 9 years. They don't bother me, I believe, because I'm PG-13. I'm clean. I'm always positive. I'm not bagging on cars, and nor do I mean, the Mach-E was a very challenging time for me, to be positive, because I don't completely understand the way the marketing department's working on that. I'm sure they've got smarter minds than me thinking the Mach-E was a good idea. I haven't figured that out yet, but I'm very careful about what I say about Ford, but I respect Ford. I respect the Ford history, what we did in the war and World War II, the fact that Ford didn't take any money like General Motors did in the bailouts. And Ford, the stock right now, it was at $4 a share. It's at $5 right now. It's bouncing around. But Ford's getting involved in this whole mask thing for the coronavirus. So is GM. And GM stock went up right away when it was announced, but it dropped down again. I watch stocks a lot, and I don't know if anybody else does. It's a really I'm gonna go into financials, Mario. It's a really rare opportunity right now to make money with a little bit of money. But this will blow over, and the media will hype it and make more fear than they, because they are getting something out of us being at home, because I have never seen so much activity online in my life. It is so active right now. Anybody that's an entrepreneur that has the wherewithal to be online, doing something online, similar to what I'm doing with Mustang Medic Promotion, there's an opportunity here.
Right.
And it's changing lives, because my mother is 79 years old, and I was watching her giggle and laugh while they were trying to set up a Zoom account with six other women of the same age from their church. And they were giggling and they were laughing, and they're sideways and they're pressing buttons and trying to figure it out. Similar to what we went through, Mario.
Yep. Hey, I just set up a Roku stick out in my living room, so my mom will be able to now start seeing our local parish, you know, broadcast their sermon, their, you know, Sunday sermons.
That's happening with us too, at our church. And everybody's figured it out now. And I thought about it, and I said to myself, I think we talked about this on the phone earlier. Every human being needs to be social. We all need to be social. We all want to somehow be important in somebody's world. Every woman loves an admirer. The guys do too. Who doesn't appreciate liking what you do when you're doing it, right? Everybody likes to be edified. So we're built to be social. And if we have to, even if this fear is not real or real, we now have to learn how to deal with it when we're being told to stay in our houses. I saw an ad that made me laugh. I was watching I was watching a sports channel with my brother-in-law today. We watched the movie 1917, absolutely amazing movie. If you want to get lost for 2 hours in an amazing story, 1917 is a great movie. Really well done, very well directed. I sound like I'm from LA because I am. But they're now learning how to do this online. And the human being will always go to what's easiest. So once you figure out that we can have a conversation like we're having now, and you're where the heck are you, Maria?
NorCal, California.
What part of Northern California?
San Jose.
Right. You're in San Jose. I'm sitting here on a porch in New Jersey in the rain. And we got very few delays in what we're talking about. We're not even stepping on each other's words because there's no delay. I mean, right. I don't know why Fox News can't figure this out. I mean, Fox News always has a 4-second delay every time they do an interview. But when
I think the 4-second delay is for them to do any kind of, like, you know, the pause button or curse button, you know?
Oh, no, but I'm saying it's a 4-second delay to the person hearing it. Like, here, we'll do a Fox News interview. Renny, ask me a question. Go ahead.
What's your favorite steak?
Yeah, I like steak. That's what they do on Fox.
True.
They do that on Fox.
They wait for that piece to hit their ears.
That much.
Yep.
Wait, no, say a joke and then say something else. Go ahead.
Knock, knock.
Who's there? No, it's that's me. Not what I want. I didn't want a knock, knock joke. I wanted to get... Never mind. Let's move on.
Yeah. Let's keep this PG.
Always PG. Where'd you go with the knock, knock, man?
I don't know.
Oh, okay, Mario. Okay. PG-13, man. Mm-hmm. I say stuff with sexual innuendo on our channel, but it's always only an adult would get it. And I'll tell you why. This is a quick story. There's a young man who mm-hmm. his name is Cain. This isn't the Bible Cain, but his name's Cain. And he is in fifth grade. And he has a wicked crush on Rachel, who's in eighth grade, Rachel's Mustang Medic. And he's been watching our videos religiously, and Rachel sometimes comes into my videos. Well, I guess this crush and this viewing has been going on for almost a year since we've been living in New Jersey. And I'm sitting there and I'm just, you know, I'm out in the country. I mean, there's no houses, you know, the next house is about 1,500 feet away. So there's no real close houses. It's woods all around us.
Right.
It's pretty rustic. I mean, I don't know if that gives you an idea of rustic, but I don't know if that's coming up or not. But I'm sitting there washing the front rims of my car, which always get dirty. My 20-year-old paint. There's stock rims on a 2000 Mustang, and I ride her hard. I got better disc brakes. I got slotted rotors, and I drive it like a race car. I go into turns, downshift hard in the second, hit the brakes, and I cut the turn, and the car swerves. The girls love it. We're pretty radical, and they get dirty. So I'm sitting there scrubbing the rims, and I see something in my peripheral vision to my right, and I look over, and there's a little tiny little boy just standing there by himself in the middle of my driveway, and he looks at me and he goes, "I watch your videos." I'm like, "You watch my videos?" He goes, "Yeah, I like Mustang Medic. I watch your videos." And I was like, "Thank you." I go, "Where are your parents? Who are you here with?" He goes, "Oh, I'm from next door." And I'm like, "Does your parents know that you're over here talking to me?" And he goes, "Oh, yeah, they know." And I'm like, "All right, well, then sit down on this bucket and start cleaning these rims, Mustang Medic. What are you doing?" So he starts cleaning the rims, right? So I got the kid cleaning the rims. Another kid shows up. I got her cleaning the other rims. I'm standing there. And a Ranger, you know, anybody, I don't know if people know what Rangers are. They're like little four-wheel vehicles. It's a Polaris vehicle, a Ranger.
And side by side.
Yeah, not a Ford Ranger, a Polaris Ranger. And well, the Ranger goes driving by, and I see the kid looking over the hood. He's trying to, like, see if what Ranger it was, right? And I go, "You're not allowed to be here, are you? You're just telling me you're here." And he goes, "Well," I said, "get your ass back to home. Get out of here." I said, "You can't come out to an adult's house without parental permission. You're going to get me in trouble." So about 2 weeks later, it was so cute. He wrote a little letter. And I just hope to God he doesn't see this video. Is it possible he could find this video, Mario? I don't want to get the kid in trouble. He did something really cute, which I would appreciate it. And he drew a Mustang Medic logo on it, and he matched the Star of Life that I used, and he drew it to such detail, hand drawn, of a logo. You know, when I use EPS files, I don't draw my logo. He did so much detail this thing. I thought it was so darn cute, and he sent this message to my daughter, and I'm just like, all right, I'm gonna need 4 bodyguards when Rachel takes over. I am definitely gonna have to have some bodyguards on the girl at car shows. I'll probably be her bodyguard for a little while. And then when I get too old, I'm going to have to hire some dudes to just walk with her because, you know what I mean? My daughter's 13 and she's a girl. She's a woman, a young woman.
Well, I'm trying to think, what's New Jersey's rules about pepper spray?
Oh, yeah. She's going to be packing. She's not going to carry pepper spray. She's going to have a gun.
Wait a minute. We're talking about New Jersey here. From what I remember,
we'll be in Nevada. We'll be in Nevada or Arizona by that time. I want to go to Arizona because I always wanted to wear a pistol, a 45 on my hip, wearing my cowboy hat. I always wanted to do that. So
before I hear Oregon, you can do that too.
Yeah. Oh, I'll tell you the story about almost dying. But before I die, I want to be smoking a cigar, wearing the normal clothes that I wear, and having a gun on my hip, and I want to be able to just pull the gun out and shoot a branch because I feel like it. That's where I want to be living.
Yeah, that's kind of like, well, you used to live in California, so you know what it's like. You're conservative, so you know what it's like. So yeah, that's kind of like me. It's like I want to be able to make enough money to where I can buy a plot of land, not in this state, and build my own house. Garage shop, and that gives me 2A friendly, and leaves me alone.
You and like what 5 million other people in California, because California has become so expensive. I lived in LA, I lived in Santa Monica, I lived in Playa del Rey, and I lived in Palm Springs, California, and also oh my gosh, I forgot the name of it. Rancho Mirage. And it has gotten so expensive to have an apartment. I don't know what you're paying. I'm not gonna put out and ask you, but there's most people for a small apartment are paying $2,000 a month to be able to struggle. You know what I mean? Yeah. To totally struggle.
Yeah.
I'm on 20% Barry, Mario.
Okay. All right. We'll make
How long have we been talking?
Hour 15 minutes.
Holy crap. I'm tired.
But yeah.
Well, you're obviously very entertaining, or I just talk too much. One or the other.
I think it's a little bit of both.
All right, so let me tell you about almost dying before we close this interview out. It happened today. Okay. I've had two close calls in my life. One was on a motorcycle. I was driving a BMW K100. It's a 1,000cc BMW motorcycle. I restored it with a friend, and I took it out, and I tried to get insurance for it. And they said I had to bring the bike in because they had to photograph it. So I was like, I was too excited about having it fully restored. So I went to a studio to do my art direction work that I was doing in LA. I was designing movie posters in Hollywood for about 20 years. And I was riding around on my bike. It was a great experience. It really was cool. Surfing all the time. And I saw a yellow light, and there was a car to my left, and it was a two-lane road both ways and a traffic light in Venice Beach, California. Venice Beach? Yeah, it was on Venice Boulevard. And I decided I'm going to buzz through that yellow light because I can do it on the bike. So I hit the gas. It was a mistake. There was a car hidden by the car that was to the left of me. So she turned left in front of me because she saw the yellow light happen. So she assumed no cars were coming. She pulled in front of me, and I hit her at 45 miles an hour right behind her right in her right fender. And she was almost profile when I hit her because she was turning and I was turning to avoid her, and she kept gassing it. She never hit the brakes. Bang. I went flipping over three or four times. I had a cop helmet on, the real one, like a white cop helmet with a plastic snap on brim, three snaps. I went tumbling, and I blacked out. I don't remember what the three first tumbles, but the last tumble I became conscious of, and I did a somersault or whatever on the ground. And I stood up, and I went like this, and my shield was hanging off my face because only one snap was left because the helmet did hit the ground. You know, when I was spinning around or something, didn't break my neck. And I was just, thank you, Jesus, that I'm still alive. It turned out I broke both my thumbs, and that's a whole other long story. And I found out how superficial Californians are, but I can talk to you about that later. So that was the one time I almost died. The other time that I almost died was today with my mother. We're in a van. I'm the passenger. I'm usually not the passenger. We're driving. She's looking for this little pile of wood. She wants to put a pile of wood in the van. For some reason, she saw this pile of wood. She wanted to get it. She never hunts down wood. I'm the woodsman. I cut down the trees. She wants this pile of wood. I'm like, okay. Right. Well, she's doing about 9 miles an hour looking for the wood on this road that's got a 50 mile an hour speed limit. And I'm challenged to do 50 miles an hour. But she's doing about maybe 8 miles an hour, and she doesn't have her blinker on. And she's looking to her left, and she sees the wood and decides to turn into the driveway to turn around to get the wood. Just as she starts to turn, a car passes us at 50 miles an hour, right in front of us, like, whoosh, like right in front of us. I mean, it would have been a T-bone. If I was driving and I wasn't looking, I would have gassed it a lot harder than she did. But because she drove so slow as she accelerated the van, we didn't make contact with the car. That mofo came up on us at 50 miles an hour, saw that the car was driving really slow, and instead of slowing down to see what the car is going to do, he cut left and passed us at like 50 miles an hour. And my mother and I looked at each other because the air pressure moved the van a little bit because that's how close it was. It was like, and we were like, we just looked at each other and we're like, oh my Lord. And I immediately started going, thank you, Jesus. Because I almost died, Mariam. I'm not kidding. My mother and I almost died tonight. It was that close.
it was one of those moments where you're like, wow, that was a close one. Those are my two life death experiences. I've got other ones, but like I hit a telephone pole with a 71 Nova when I was 17 at 75 miles an hour. No seatbelts. Lived through that. But those are just a couple stories of my life. I'm writing a book. I'm not kidding. I really am. I'm not making a joke. Everybody thinks they can write a book, though, right? Everybody thinks so.
Well, let's see. The closest I could say to my version of losing my life, one day I was leaving work on my lunch break, driving down a 2-lane road. I'm in the number one lane, and this big uniform box truck is in the number two lane.
You got to explain that to non-Californians.
Okay, number one lane, if you're going down a direction, I would be in the left-hand lane, which is number one out here in California. Number two would be the lane to my right. So far, you follow me?
Wait, the number one is the right lane. Number four lane is the high-speed lane. Right? Are we backwards? I was in California for 25 years. The number one lane is on the right, isn't it? The number one lane is the slowest lane.
I may have to read the handbook again and find out.
All right, you guys Google it. See which one of us are right. Go ahead.
Okay, but I was in the left-hand lane, right. And I'm going straight, and this guy wants to make a left-hand turn from his lane into my lane, broadsides me, literally picks up my vehicle, literally up in the air, because after I got hit, I'm trying to slow down. I cannot slow down, and I know my brakes are good. So that means my vehicle was airborne when he hit me, and I'm trying to hit the brakes. And by the time I got control again, I'm like going, okay, what am I going to do? Going into a building on this corner or take out a stoplight pole? So,
what'd you do?
Took out the stoplight pole, broadsided it. And managed not to hit the building. So I literally curved in and took out this building. Or this. Wow.
What were you driving when that happened?
96 Chevy Tahoe.
That's probably a good thing.
Yep.
If you were in a Miata, we probably wouldn't be talking to you.
Exactly. And I was so upset going after the insurance because the uniform company was self-insured. So trying to get it's like, you realize for me to try to find a replacement of this vehicle, I'm going to have to go out of state to get it. And what you're offering me won't even cover the cost of me buying it and whatnot. So it's like...
They're figuring you out for 3 years trying to hold on to their money as long as they can for the interest. It's a game.
Still there?
Are we back? We blocked out.
I think we froze a little bit. Oh, well.
We blacked out.
Cool. But, it's a numbers game where insurance companies try to drag it out as long as they can. But eventually after everything was all said and done and lawyers and whatnot, I was able to buy my 2004 F-150 out of it. So, I'm happy.
Yeah, I got $55,000 for the motorcycle accident, and I spent it on my first business called House Cat. Spent it all in like 3 months. Gone. Okay. Mustang Medic is on YouTube as Mustang Medic. Mustang Medic is on Instagram as Mustang Medic. Mustang Medic is on Facebook as Mustang Medic. Mustang Medic is on Patreon as Mustang Medic. Mustang Medic is on Teespring for t-shirts at Mustang Medic. I have a bunch of accounts. If you want to grow your Instagram account, Mustang Medic Promotion, check it out. You can see the work that we do. You blacked out, Mario.
No, I'm back.
You blacked out, Mario.
I'm back.
All right, cut that part out. We have a number. We have an account that is called Mustang Medic Promotion, and that is to help promote you and grow your account. If you got a brand, we're going to reach 1 million very soon. I'm actually adding some partners on soon, which will probably bring us to 1 million. I think we have 600,000 reach right now. We have ad packages, so you can DM either Mustang Medic or Mustang Medic Promotion and say, hey, what kind of ad package do you have? I'm interested. And still possibly adding some partners. Once we reach a million, I'm going to kind of like bring a couple partners in, you know, as buffer, but we're going to have a million reach. And I'm just going to keep out pumping out entertainment on Instagram and still on YouTube. And whatever platform, any other platform you can think of, TikTok, whatever, it's Mustang Medic. I locked it all up.
So I'll have all of his links to all of his platforms in the video description for you guys who are watching this video on YouTube. If you guys are listening to this on Apple, iTunes, Spotify, Anchor FM, or Google Play, the podcast version, the audio version of it, check the podcast description. I'll try to have links in there as well.
Mario, so, you're everywhere, Mario. You're everywhere, Mario.
I'm trying to, man. I need to get as many eyeballs as I can.
And remember, so, one person counts as two eyeballs.
That's true. Unless you got one that's bad.
Oh, yeah. You know, I love that senator. He's a good guy.
Yep. So thank you, William, for being my guest. And we'll see you guys all next time around.
My pleasure, Mario.